Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. Good evening, Ahmed.
Good evening, infidel.
So you're a terrorist?
Yes, I am a terrorist.
What kind of terrorist?
A terrifying terrorist. Are you scared?
Not really, no.
And now?
Not really, no.
How about now?
No.
God damn it. I mean, Allah, damn it. Silence! I kill you!
So, Ahmed.
No, it's Ahmed.
That's what I said.
No, you said Ahmed. It's Ahmed.
Silence! I kill you! How do you spell it?
What?
How do you spell your name?
Oh, let's see, A... C... Slim...
Silence! I kill you! So, Ahmed, if you're a terrorist, I would suppose you have some sort of specialty.
Yes, I am a suicide bomber.
Ah. So you're finished.
What?
You've done your job.
No, I haven't.
But you're dead.
No, I'm not.
I feel fine. But you're all bone.
It's a flesh wound.
Megan! I kill you!
Oh, welcome all.
I love it. I just love that guy. Silence. I kill you.
I kill you. Oh, if you've got tender ears, you might want to go to a different show tonight, because there's a few words in some of these that I'm going to play tonight that are probably not user friendly, I guess we could say. But you know what? We had such a deep and sorrowful week last week that I just had to lighten it a little bit, even though the subject matter is still pretty heavy. I had to kick it off with something happy. Anyways, welcome to Freedom Quest. I'm your host, Eliza Jane, and Lucha, my fantastico co-host. Say hello, Lucha.
Hello, Lucha. And it's ladies' night. Oh, I got to sing this song because... Everybody in the chat room, we're all ladies, so yes, it's ladies' night, and the feeling's right. Oh, yes, it's ladies' night. Oh, what a night.
Oh, wow. You got talent, girl.
Woohoo! Welcome, everybody. We love you guys.
Oh, yeah, everybody that's in the chat room so far, thanks, ladies, for joining us tonight. That's all right. We rule, right? We rock. All right, folks. Well, tonight, I said, well, we're going to lighten the mood a little bit, but with Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. But we are going to talk about a subject that I boggles my mind. How can they become terrorists?
Silence!
Where do they...
Sorry.
Wait a minute.
Silence! I kill you!
I even got some new got some new sound effects.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'll get serious in a minute, I think. I'll try.
Well, all right. So here's the serious side to tonight. How do they become a terrorist? Why do they want to become a terrorist? Where do they get their instruction? Do they go to college for how to be a terrorist? Are there college terrorist courses? How does that all come about? So we're going to delve into that a little bit and try to figure that out. Now, I am sure we are not going to have 100% of the answers by the end of the show because, gee, it's got to be much deeper than an hour and a half class, right?
Oh, anyway. Yeah.
Well, I thought we'd start out by just defining. Got to get out what the definition of terrorism is, because maybe you and I have a different definition. Maybe what you think is terrorist activities, because maybe somebody's presenting you with a spider, and that's terroristic to you because you can't stand spiders. Nah, I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, I won't go down that path. So, of course, we can all trust the definition from Wikipedia, right? So I go to the trusted Wikipedia. Terrorism. Here's the definition they've got. It is the systematic use of violent terror as a means of coercion. In the international community, however, terrorism has no legally binding criminal law definition. That surprised me. Terrorism has no legally binding criminal law definition. Interesting. Common definitions of terrorism refer only to those violent acts that are, only to those violent acts which are intended to create fear, terror, are perpetrated for a religious, political, or ideological goal, and deliberately target or disregard the safety of non-combatants, civilians. Some definitions now include acts of unlawful violence and war, the use of similar tactics by criminal organizations for protection rackets, or to enforce a code of silence is usually not labeled terrorism, though these same actions may be labeled terrorism when done by a politically motivated group. So, as we go a little farther and deeper into this, terrorists are generally motivated by profound sense, albeit misguided, altruism, deep feelings of self-defense, and if they are religiously observant or devout, an abiding, even unswerving commitment to their faith and the conviction that their violence is not only theologically justified, but divinely commanded. All terrorists fundamentally see themselves as altruists, incontestably believing that they are serving a good cause, designed to achieve a greater good for a wider constituency. Whether real or imagined, which the terrorist and his organization or cell purport to represent. Indeed, it is precisely this sense of self-righteousness, commitment, and self-sacrifice that draws people into terrorist organizations. In the case of Muslims, although the Quran forbids both suicide and the infliction of wanton violence, well, I take that with a grain of salt, pronouncements have also been made by radical Muslim clerics and in some instances have been promulgated as fatwas, Islamic religious edicts, affirming the legitimacy of violence in defense of defenseless people and to resist the invasion of Muslim lands. So that's kind of the definition from Wikipedia. I wasn't going to go into all of this, but, you know, Lucha, as I started looking at terrorism, who becomes terrorists, how they go about it, there are so many things that seem to draw people, and so many things that, so many activities, so many requirements that are demanded of people, and so that they are not strong enough in will, strong enough in faith, strong enough in personal self-evaluation, that they can even stand up against it. So I find it interesting as I went through some of this research to find out what it takes. There is literally 100 articles in YouTube out there if you Google how to become a terrorist. That just kind of blew my mind, how to become a terrorist. Let me see. I'm sitting here on a Sunday afternoon. I'm going to, got nothing else to do. Let me see if I can figure that out. Is that amazing or what? Talk about the internet being a good thing and a bad thing. Wow. Hey. Anyways, what are your thoughts, Lucha?
Yeah, it is a good thing and a bad thing. You know, and I was kind of hesitant to, you know, because as I was doing research for the show today, and, you know, I was Googling makings of a terrorist, from terrorist to Christian. I was Googling all these different things, and I'm like, uh-oh, well, gee, if the NSA is spying on me, you know, and then I'm going into, okay, so right away I went to the show link, and I tweeted out the show, you know, join us as we, you know, why do they become terrorists, just so the NSA would know that, okay, this is just research for the show we're doing. So NSA, if y'all are listening, okay, all my little research things before, you know, it was just so we could do this show, okay? I'm not trying to become a terrorist.
That's funny you went down that path, because I was actually sitting here going, all right, as I Googled all of this, and of course, you know, the history is always saved in your computer. And so here I am thinking, all right, they bust down my door, they take my computer, and they see what I've been Googling.
Well,
that's exactly what I'm thinking. All right, now they've got the goods on me. They've got all the proof that they want, you know, that I'm going to go out and start being a terrorist. But, gee, I don't know. If they come in my house, they probably wouldn't find anything more dangerous than three dogs that might bite their foot.
Yeah, Holger is asking in the chat room, is it terrorist Sunnis kill Shias? But I want to Kel was putting some good statistics in the chat room earlier. So she did her weekly jihad report. From September 7th to September 13th, I just wanted to go, because it was some good information. There
good.
Were 46 jihad attacks, 25 countries, 5 religions. I'm not sure what you mean by that, Cal, the 5 religions. Dead bodies, this is in the space of a week. Dead bodies,
wow.
1,616. Critically injured, 3,412. This is all in the span of 1 week, I'm assuming, Kel. Oh, there was 5 religions targeted. Okay, thank you. So, yeah, that's just the weekly jihad report. 1,616 dead in 1 week from jihad. And I was listening to... Oh, go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
Well, no, just finish your point, because I was going to go into my thing about the doctor.
Well, you know, all of that... I lost my train of thought now, but basically I was going to go back to what Holger was asking. Is it terror if Sunnis kill Shias? It's terror. It's terror in the form of one of them is deathly afraid of the other one coming at them, so they're fighting against each other. Sure, it's terror for them, but is it a terroristic act from the standpoint of, well, Islam's killing Islam, so they're not killing the infidels? I don't know the answer to that one, Holger. At the end of the day, we have to win and keep this country as a republic. We have to keep this country under our constitution and not Sharia. So that's an excellent question. Depends on how you want to look at it and where you're coming from, I suppose, is the answer to that. But terrorism is terrorism to whomever it is that it's being inflicted upon. And in
yes.
terms of terrorist acts and events, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of what they've done in America. That's kind of where I'm coming from. And what they're doing in their own countries to begin to plan for any attacks here. And so I started looking at it from the standpoint of children.
Mm.
What it is that children are inflicted upon that caused them to grow up and want to be a terrorist. How in the world do they get to that point? What steps are taken from the time that they're, you know, I don't know, when they can talk, start learning to talk? Is it at that point they're starting to preach the hatred? Probably. Is it at that point they're starting to force the memorization of the Quran? It's all of that I figure really come into play on all of this. And so I've got some information on all of that I was going to talk to here shortly. But I'll let you go ahead and take it, Lucha, and talk to the point that you were going to go.
Well, if you're ready to talk about the children, go for it, because I'll just go into my thing. That it would probably be better to talk about the children first,
okay.
And then I'll go into what I learned from the doctor afterwards.
Okay. Well, essentially, from defining what the terrorism is all about and what it means, as I tried to find, you know, some articles that talked about, there was one I found that gave 5 reasons why young people become terrorists. And that's partly why I put the pictures that I did on this show with the children and the bombs strapped to them. But five reasons why young people become terrorists. The fifth, start at the bottom and work our way up. So five, they're looking for an identity. Yeah, most children are. So I think from that standpoint, they have articles associated with each one of these listings. So it talks about the many young people often join terrorist organizations because they are looking for an identity for themselves. A 2010 study from the United States Institute of Peace found that among 2,032 foreign fighters, calling them foreign fighters, who joined Al-Qaeda, being a so-called identity seeker was the largest reason to join a terrorist organization. Wow. Okay, four. They have a need for belonging. Well, that goes hand in hand with looking for an identity. They don't have an identity. Obviously, they don't have the family need that they need. So if they're looking to belong, terrorist organizations often grow their ranks by recruiting youths who have a need for belonging. Randy Borum, a professor at the University of South Florida, argued in a 2004 paper that future terrorists find not only a sense of meaning, but also a sense of belonging, connectedness, and affiliation in terrorist organizations. It's a whole gang mentality. You know, you're my brother. You're my brother, my sister. We're going to take care of you. You just follow the rules. Really, seriously, that's all it is, belonging. You get a sense of identity. So three, they want to correct what they believe is an injustice. I'm sorry, but children don't even know what the meaning of injustice is yet. But however, I'm sure once you become a member, once you feel like you've got your identity, once you feel like you belong, they could tell you anything is an injustice, and you're going to believe it because it's the family, it's the mob, it's the gang, it's the injustice that they want to find. So Associated Press was on this item, this number three, says writing what a terrorist perceives as a wrong is a major factor in youth deciding to engage in terrorist activities. This is particularly true of the lone wolf scenario. And let's see, Georgetown professor Bruce Hoffman has said that recruiting based on perceived injustices, especially by saying that the West is hostile towards Islam, is a point terrorist recruiters drive home. Hoffman added that these recruiters will argue jihad against the West is the only option to correct this, while the Hoover Institute says that the righting perceived wrongs is a major terrorist motivation. So, now you've got your identity, your belonging. Now you've got your injustice identified, okay? So number two, well, this one, aren't we all? They are looking for a thrill. So under this one, they actually had the picture of Adam Gadan. I thought that was interesting that they would connect him with this item. They are looking for a thrill. According to the United States Institute of Peace, so-called thrill seekers accounted for 5% of the 2,032 foreign fighters they interviewed in 2011. This small group of individuals often were attracted to violent video games and stories glorifying jihad and war. The study mentions that this type of future terrorist often came from a middle or upper-class family and joined out of boredom. Boy, we're seeing that, aren't we? A lot of these jihadists are educated, very well-educated people. Borum also cited boredom as part of the process by which youth become radicalized, saying they follow a general progression from social alienation to boredom, then occasionally dissidence and protest before eventually turning to terrorism. And number one, the top reason why they become terrorists, young people become terrorists. They sympathize with a group and self-radicalize via the Internet. Self-radicalize. I guess that's where you go out and you Google how to become a terrorist. So they sympathize with the group and self-radicalize. I don't know how you completely self-radicalize. That one has me puzzled a bit. But anyways, let me read what it says related to that. This is actually from the FBI. Many youth often make the jump from a passive supporter and sympathizer of terrorists to active supporter, actually engaging in terrorist acts through the Internet. The Internet can instruct future terrorists how to build bombs, join an organization, fund terrorism, and share information. In many ways, the Internet serves as a virtual training camp. Much like the way non-terrorists use social media, the Internet has become a virtual echo chamber acting as a radicalization accelerant. Wow. Department of Homeland Security has cited three ways that young people find sites to become radicalized: browsing for entertainment, searching for a community to belong to, and looking for information related to heritage, traditions, or ideologies associated with a particular radical group. Gee, don't we all do that kind of searching on the Internet? Looking for information related to heritage, traditions, but that doesn't mean we're becoming terrorists, although I guess the Tea Party is a terrorist group, isn't it? So, those are five real key line items that are identifying how they become a terrorist, but I think it relates a lot back to, and Lucha, this is kind of where I'm leading it, is that I think there's one more thing there that needs to be stated, is that I think it's also a child abuse. I think it's a child abuse form that Islam uses to emotionally abuse and force their children into it. Think about everything that I've read and seen. What an Islamic child growing up under Islam has to go through. Memorization of the Quran. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. They do have to. I mean, they're indoctrinated from the cradle. They have no choice.
They are not given any choice. They have to memorize the Quran. There's just recently, my computer, don't die on me. There was just recently a story about about 8 years old. His mother beat him because he couldn't remember and memorize the Quran. It's total child abuse to force them and to interrogate them and to emotionally destroy them. That's
yes.
What a lot of these terrorists end up being, coming from that kind of a family.
I came across an interesting article. I just posted it in the chat room, and I'm just going to read it. This was very interesting. It's from a publication called All Monitor. It's the Pulse of the Middle East, and I'm reading this article from, they have the Pulse of Iraq, the Pulse of Lebanon, the Pulse of Israel, with Arabic, writing under it. This is a article written by a man named Hazam Baloucha. He's a, quote, Palestinian journalist based in Gaza City. He has worked as a news producer for BBC World Service, blah, blah, blah. Those are his, but he this article. Islamic Jihad Hamas hold military summer camps for children.
Wow.
This was, doesn't say what year it was posted, but this is what he writes. On a military training site belonging to Al-Quds, which is Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
brigades in the city of Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip, 12-year-old Musab, wearing camouflage fatigues and his face painted for combat, carried a Kalashnikov assault rifle as he took position with other similarly garbed children behind some barbed wire. They were simulating an attack on an Israeli military outpost aimed at kidnapping one of its soldiers. The assault was subsequently followed by cheers and praise to Almighty God for the success of their, quote, military operation. This exercise came as part of a military parade that concluded the week-long Generation of Faith summer camp, which
wow.
targeted school children ages 12 to 17 and was organized by Islamic Jihad and supervised by its Al-Quds Brigade's military wing. Musab, little 12-year-old Musab, at 12 years old, he explained that throughout the duration of the camp, they were trained to fire machine guns, assault military positions, kidnap soldiers, plant landmines, administer first aid, swim, and maintain their physical fitness. What, does this sound like the Boy Scouts? Or, you know, I mean, what is going on? 12 years old.
Wow.
And he's learning how to plant landmines. Speaking to Al Monitor, he said, I attended the summer camp with my 16-year-old brother, Ati, because I believe in the importance of military training and in preparing myself to confront the enemy and defend the homeland. I await the moment when I will be able to fight in God's name. 12 years old. Every year during summer vacation, Palestinian factions and some international and civil organizations organize summer camps for children. And year after year, the debate reemerges about the appropriateness of politically mobilizing children and young people, as well as giving them military training in camps that compete with those organized by international organizations, particularly the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. That's UNRWA. And there's a whole other story on them. They are the only UN organization dedicated to Palestinians. The
wow.
article goes on. Islamic Jihad organizes two types of camps for children and youth in the Gaza Strip. The first is of a purely military nature. It attracts 100 kids exclusively from the city of Rafah and is titled Generation of Faith. The second camp is called Victory Generation and does not involve any military training, but focuses on scouting activities and amusement. One of the Rafah summer camp supervisors, Hazam El Amasi, said in an interview with Al Monitor, the camps aim at instilling a culture of victory and teaching children about combat and how to adapt to war in the event of a military confrontation. He added, it is our duty to prepare the rising generation for the impending confrontation with the Zionist enemy, for the battle will be lost if readiness is not attained. Amasi explained that Islamic Jihad organized, quote, victory camps that catered to 400 students and focused on providing them with cultural activities, entertainment, as well as marksmanship training, security awareness, and advice on the dangers of social networking sites and drug use. Gee, I wonder why they warned them about the dangers of social networking sites. Maybe because they might learn the truth? I don't know. It goes on, Islamic Jihad's military camp for children has renewed internal Palestinian debate over its appropriateness, with human rights activist Mustafa Ibrahim warning such camps have negative repercussions. Ibrahim told Al Monitor, we are allowing Israel to exploit these camps and mobilize international public opinion against the Palestinian people, not to mention the increased levels of violence that these camps cause among children under the age of 8 and the negative repercussions engendered by that on society as a whole. Hamas also organizes its own month-long summer camps. These began on June 9th and will last until July 9th. Nearly 100,000 students attend the camps, 63,000 of them males ages 10 to 22, according to Hamas's Central Summer Camp Committee Chairman Musa al-Samak. But Hamas seemed more cautious than Islamic Jihad in giving military training to children under the age of 16. Samak said that three different types of summer camps are held for three different age groups, ages 10 to 15, ages 16 to 18, and college students older than 18. He said summer camps are entertaining and include scouting and religious activities. He maintained that children under 16 are not given military training, but are educated intellectually, militarily, and politically. Okay, well, wait. He said they're not given military training, but they're educated militarily?
Right.
I don't know what the... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Through their summer camps, Palestinian factions aim to attract youth and influence their political and intellectual proclivities because, quote, the war against occupation requires young people. Okay, now see, I'm going to pause in the reading of this article because the Palestinian kids in Gaza and in I don't call it the West Bank. I call it Judea and Samaria. But they believe, and all Muslims believe, that all lands originally belong to Muslims, especially Israel. So Muslims see Israel as occupying their land. So they think that the Israelis and the Jewish people are the occupiers because
right.
the land once belonged to them. The way they think of America, you know, I mean, they tell you, you don't convert to Islam, you revert to Islam because we were all born Muslim. Okay, so, yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Silence! I kill you!
Okay, sorry. We've got Holger in the house, too. You want to take a minute and talk to him?
Oh, yes. Awesome.
Hey, Holger, how are you?
Good evening, ladies.
Holger, you're the only man in Ladies' Night. You're so...
I know it. I'm telling you. I'm loving every minute of it. I got the sign on the door. Stay out.
Yeah.
Beheading's in process.
There you go. What's going on?
Say, I ran across something yesterday that I had never seen before, and I thought that considering the fact that we're just coming off the 12th anniversary of 9/11,
right,
and we have a president who seems intent on blowing up the entire Middle East.
Yep.
I thought this was very telling. I think it's very shocking, quite frankly. And what it is it's an article that I ran across. It's literally just a flea-bitten local article out of Chicago.
Mm.
And what it was, the title of the article, "Where Was President Obama on September 11th, 2001? And in 2001, Obama was in the Illinois State Senate, okay? So they go through this article talking about what was going on that day and what he was doing and all this kind of good stuff. But here's what I want to read for you. It's just a paragraph long. And you really got to concentrate on this because, like Obama always does, is he uses all these flowery words and tries to you know, talk really, really smart, you know.
Was he on teleprompter? Sorry.
So after the attack, what happened was there's this little teeny newspaper in Hyde Park, Chicago, called the Hyde Park Herald. And what they do is every once in a while they get the politicians from the state, they get them to submit, you know, little statements on certain things going on so far. So it says, "At that time, few were interested in any profound thoughts this Illinois legislator had on the state of the world. His reaction to the attacks did not appear in the local newspapers, except for a very local one, the Hyde Park Herald. The paper frequently ran columns by the neighborhood's elected officials, including Mr. Obama. After 9/11, then-editor Caitlin Devitt invited them to submit short statements for the following week's edition." So this is what Obama submitted to this little newspaper as his statement about the 9/11 attack. Okay, so it's one paragraph, but you gotta get this thing every word. Okay, so
okay.
here's what he said.
Okay.
Remember, this is 2001. This is just after the attacks.
Okay.
He says, the essence of this tragedy, it seems to me, derives from a fundamental absence of empathy on the part of the attackers, an inability to imagine or connect with the humanity and suffering of others, Mr. Obama wrote. Such a failure of empathy, such numbness to the pain of a child or the desperation of a parent, is not innate, nor, history tells us, is it unique to a particular culture, religion, or ethnicity. It may find expression in a particular brand of violence and may be channeled by particular demagogues or fanatics. Most often, though, it grows out of a climate of poverty and ignorance, helplessness and despair.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
So what, and what, if you read it over and over again, this literally, this man set the bar for the cover-up of Islamic terror. This guy literally set up the first makings of Islamophobia. He's the first one, as far as I know, he's the first one that coined this phrase about the fact that these terrorists do this because they're poor, that they grew up in poverty. But the point is why would Barack Obama in 2001, he's a Christian, he's with Reverend Wright, he's
yeah, sure.
doing the Hail Marys down there, why would he go out of his way to tell us that it is not unique to a particular religion? Why would he go out of his way when describing what happened and where he's at after it happened? Why would he feel the need to say that this had nothing to do with Islam?
He is not a Christian, contrary to some belief. No, he was apologizing for Islam even back then, which tells us a lot about him. And I kind of read the double meaning behind what he said, you know, because it seemed like he was trying to, I'd have to remember exactly what it is that you said, but I read a whole double meaning beside when he talked about the poverty and stuff. You know, I read a double meaning into that as like a message to the jihadis that they could use that as an excuse for their terrorism.
That
he
was
poverty
and despair.
Yeah.
Most often, though, it grows out of a climate of poverty and ignorance, helplessness and despair. So of the four things there, ignorance has kind of got a negative connotation to it, but of the four things listed there, three of those are out of your control, and you're actually a victim. I mean, people
exactly.
are victims of poverty, they're victims of helplessness, and they're victims of despair. I mean, this is like describing a Gaza jihadi who just blew up a market in Israel and killed 30 women and children and calling that person, you know, responsible just because he was feeling helpless.
But think about it. How many of these...
He grew up poor.
How many of these Islamists that they've caught, now the underwear bomber being one of them that I can think of right off the top of my... I think the Times Square bomber even. They're well-read, they're schooled, they've got almost nearly doctorate degrees. How does that come out of poverty and despair?
It's bullshit. It's been a line that these guys have been using for years. It's been discredited by people like Emerson and many
yep.
others in the fact that it's just not true. And especially when you look at where they're from. Okay, well,
right.
I mean, obviously, if you're going to talk about somebody that's in poverty, you've got to put it relative to where they live, okay? So, you know, they might be kind of middle class in Saudi Arabia, you know, might be a little bit lower class in, you know, West Hollywood or something. But, you know, they've used that for years. And, I mean, here's my point. I have never heard anybody use this excuse for these jihadis about this whole poverty and helplessness.
Wow,
and all that.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that until, you know, 5-6 years ago. Here's Obama stating this literally a week after the 9/11 attacks.
Well, it was a small enough paper. Nobody heard, nobody listened, nobody
nope.
paid attention. And so at the end of the day, it's like, well, I never said that. That must have been a misquote, you know. He can get away with it. This guy is Teflon. He doesn't have anything stick to him, but you're right. He's giving them an excuse to continue on, because how many people do we have in poverty? More and more as he remains president.
Yeah, I just put the link in the chat room for you. Cause like I said, it's just from like a little news station in WBEZ. Uh-huh. In Chicago, so you know, nobody saw this article back. The article is from like 2011, I think. So, but
wow.
you know, you were talking about terrorism, and you know, why do they commit terror and all that? And it's just because, you know, they're poor, you know.
I'm sorry, you show's know. Over. Thanks for joining tonight.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the good thing that in every Western nation there's just no poor people. You know, because we don't have any terrorists running around blowing themselves up and blowing other people up. So obviously there's no poor people in the West. You know, there's nobody that feels helpless. You know, there's nobody that feels despair.
Well, that's why they have to come here.
It's just these people in these Arab countries. Yeah.
Yeah, every one of them are so poor and so destitute that they have to come here and blow us up to make us join them in their poverty and despair.
Yeah.
Makes a whole lot of
sense. So anyway, ladies, thanks for letting me call in.
I appreciate it. I'm always glad to have you, Holger.
All right. Great show as always. All right.
You're the bomb, Holger.
All right. See you later. See you, Lion Jane. See you, Lucha.
All righty, bye.
Okay, I got the next dance, Holger.
Bye-bye. Got the next what?
The next dance.
Oh, okay. You and me.
It's ladies' night after all. Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
Hopefully it's a slow dance.
Right. Wait a minute, I got to find
you
a song then, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
And not the call to prayer. I don't dance to the call to prayer.
All right.
See you, ladies.
Later.
All right.
So go ahead. What was the rest of your article, Lucha?
Oh, okay. Well, let's see.
It's as you're reading that, all I could think of is Boy Scouts camp on steroids.
Yeah, and it's interesting where this article is from, and there's some more good information in it. So I do want to finish reading it.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it goes on. An Islamic Jihad leadership figure, Ahmad al-Mudallal, who was also responsible for the summer camps, he said, "We are resistance movements. It is therefore normal for us to want to attract young people, instill the culture of resistance in their minds, and prepare them to bear arms against the Israeli enemy. The financial crisis suffered by Palestinian factions has had its effect on their plans to expand summer camp activities. For a while, Mudallal and Samak refused to disclose the budgets allocated for these camps. The newspaper has learned from sources that requested anonymity that this year's Islamic Jihad camp budget did not exceed $20,000 compared with $150,000 spent last year. UNRWA, whose summer camps were shut down last year due to a lack of funds, relaunched them this year after receiving a $2.5 million donation from the Finnish government. It should be noted that organizing summer camps cost UNRWA nearly $10 million in 2011, and since United States taxpayers fund the United Nations, some of our taxpayer money went to fund these jihadi camps. UNRWA's camps this year will go on for 3 weeks and will be held in various regions of the Gaza Strip. They will attract 150,000 12 to 15-year-old male and female students who will be supervised by 2,000 unemployed Palestinians specifically hired for the job. UNRWA spokesman Adnan Abu Hassana told the newspaper that Palestinian children from the poorest Gaza Strip families needed to have fun, play, and unload themselves emotionally, especially in light of the Israeli siege and poverty suffered by their families. Yeah, okay. There are no green spaces in the Gaza Strip, no playgrounds for poor children to play in. That is why UNRWA strives to create spaces for them where they can play, be kids, and forget the toll exacted on them by the occupation, siege, and poverty, he said. All right, now, I don't know about you guys. That's the end of the article. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen pictures of life in Gaza, and they're living large. Okay, they continually play victimhood, and they strive to create spaces for them to play with machine guns, learning how to kill the Israeli enemy. If that's their definition of playing, and we've all seen the pictures of these kids at these training camps, and it's sad. It is so damn sad, Eliza.
Yeah, it's you're right. I never even thought about trying to Google this. Islamic Jihad camps is, I mean, just the that alone just blows my mind. That number one, they can advertise Islamic Jihad summer camp.
Well,
Islamic Jihad camp. Oh, I'm sorry, Jihad is not what we think it is, though, right?
One is called the Generation of Faith, and one of them is called the Victory Generation.
Well, all right. So I think, did you read this part? I actually found an article on the Investigative Project, which is Steve Emerson's. Islamic Jihad Summer of Radicalization says the, there's, where's it at here? Bah, 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 bah. I saw it a minute ago. Kids, shoot. Up to 10,000, there it is, up to 10,000 children ages 6 to 16 attend these each session, attend each session of the Generation of Faith. 10,000 children dressed in T-shirts emblazoned with the Islamic Jihad logo. Children work with the real AK-47s. Alma just got to shoot one not too long ago, and man, that thing is scary. And face explosions and fiery burning tires in an all-too-memorable war zone. Wow. 6 to 16. Tell me, how is it a 16-year-old, yes, has some age of reason, I suppose, but they're still impressionable. Found an article about emotional abuse with children, and I just think it really relates to all of this. Emotional abuse of a child is commonly defined as a pattern of behavior by parents or caregivers that can seriously interfere with a child's cognitive, emotional, psychological, or social development. This is what Islam is all about. This is why we end up with terrorists. They are exploiting the children. They are abusing them emotionally. Here's some of the different ways to emotionally abuse a child. Not that I'm giving you ways to do that, but this is essentially what Islam is doing. Ignoring, either physically or psychologically, the parent or caregiver is not present to respond to the child. Rejecting, this is an active refusal to respond to a child's needs. All of this relates to Islam when you think about it. Think very hard about, and you don't even need to think that hard. Ignoring, when they, you know, basically put them in these jihad camps, throwing them into that, totally ignoring any kind of parental rights to raise them with any kind of morals of faith that need to tell them that death is not the answer, hatred is not the answer. So let me keep going. Isolating. Putting them in these jihad camps is also an isolation for them. The parent or caregiver consistently prevents the child from having normal social interactions with peers, family, family members, and of course they cannot socialize with anybody outside of Islam. So that's isolation. Exploiting or corrupting. In this kind of abuse, a child is taught, encouraged, or forced to develop inappropriate or illegal behaviors. It may involve self-destructive and antisocial acts of the parent or caregiver, such as teaching a child how to steal or forcing a child into prostitution. Let me add into that, to teach them that the Jews are apes and pigs, to teach them to hate the infidel, all of that. Verbally assaulting. Well, of course, they verbally assault them when they can't memorize the Quran. Look at the mother that honor killed her son because he wouldn't memorize it. Couldn't. Terrorizing. Here the parent or caregiver threatens or bullies the child and creates a climate of fear for the child. Terrorizing can include placing the child or the child's loved one, such as a sibling, pet, or toy, in a dangerous or chaotic situation, or placing rigid or unrealistic expectations on the child with threats of harm if they are not met. Honor killing. There's a whole lot of fear there and terrorization. Neglecting the child. This abuse may include educational neglect, where a parent or caregiver fails to or refuses to provide the child with necessary educational services, mental health neglect, where the parent or caregiver denies or ignores the child's need for treatment for psychological problems. Well, gee, by this point, they've already got the psychological problems, but it's to their advantage. This is where the building of a child terrorist begins. What are the effects of emotional abuse? This Douglas Besharoff states in Recognizing Child Abuse, A Guide for the Concerned, emotional abuse is an assault on the child's psyche. Just as physical abuse is an assault on the child's body, children who are constantly ignored, shamed, terrorized, or humiliated suffer at least as much, if not more, than they are physically assaulted. Danya Glasser, in 2002, finds that emotional abuse can be more strongly predictive of subsequent impairments in the child's development than the severity of physical abuse. Take that back to the five reasons I read you at the beginning. All of that emotional child abuse, they're looking for an identity, they have a need for belonging, they want to correct what they believe is injustice, they are looking for a thrill, and they sympathize with the group. Number one, of course, you have to have five through two first, the two through five. If you have all of those, then gee, they're going to sympathize with whatever makes them feel like they're part of the group, loved, respected, and respected could mean because they've gone out and shot somebody, gone out and stole something, gone out and beat somebody up. This is the terroristic behaviors, and this is why we end up with terrorists that are out there taking lives because they have no idea what it means, and just they're not coming necessarily from poverty and despair. Some maybe, for the most part, I doubt it. But with all of this emotional abuse and focused on children, to memorize the Quran, gee, let's go to the Quran and see what it's telling you. If I had to sit there day in and day out and memorize the Quran, sorry, I'm getting a little emotional here. Gotta breathe. When it comes to children being affected, I just am just appalled. I worry about where our children are at. I worry about what they're seeing in terms of all these video games. Did a video game cause somebody to go and kill somebody? Sure had some influence. Just as much as sitting and watching violent movies all day long. You get numb to what it means to have somebody die. Sorry, Lucha, I don't mean to take over the whole show here.
Oh, no. You're good. Go ahead.
Well, let's look at verses from the Quran. Now, a child, think of this. A child is 5, 7 years old. They haven't made it to the jihad camp yet because maybe they're still under 6. Because what did it say? They were 6 to 16. So, gee, until they're 5 is when they're probably forced into memorizing the Quran. So we start memorizing Quran, and gee, it's got such friendly verses, such family friendly and love and community. And wait a minute, what's it say here? Oh, wait. There are 109 verses that call Muslims to war with non-believers for the sake of Islamic rule. 109 verses. The verses of violence in the Quran are mostly open-ended, meaning that they are not restrained by the historical context of the surrounding text. They are fact. They are part of Allah's demands on you as an Islam, as being part of the Islam. Unfortunately, there are very few verses of tolerance and peace to abrogate or even balance out many that call for non-believers to be fought and subdued until they are either accept humiliation, convert to Islam, or are killed. So, we read through, there's probably about 6 pages here. I am not going to read them all to you, but let's just read a couple of them here. Quran 3:151. Soon shall we cast terror. Let's see, I'm 5 years old. Mama, what's terror mean? Oh, okay, that's what it means. Good. Let me keep going. Soon shall we cast terror into the hearts of the unbelievers For that they joined companions with Allah, for which he had sent no authority. This speaks directly of polytheists, yet it also includes Christians, since they believe in the Trinity, what Muhammad incorrectly believed to be joining companions to Allah. Here's another one, Quran 489. They but wish that ye should reject faith as they do, and thus be on the same footing as they. But take not friends from their ranks until they flee in a way of Allah from what is forbidden. For if they turn renegades, seize them and slay them wherever ye find them. And in any case, take no friends or helpers from their ranks. Mama, does that mean I can't have a friend, my friend Joey down the street here that's an infidel? I can't play with him? Is that what that means, Mama? No, I have to, what? I have to kill him? Oh, okay. Thanks, Mama.
Yeah.
So, Quran, let's see. I'm just going to read a couple more. Quran 8:12, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. No reasonable person would interpret this to mean a spiritual struggle. Quran 8:15, O ye who believe, when ye meet these who disbelieve in battle, turn not your backs to them. Whoso on that day turneth his back to them, unless maneuvering for battle or intent to join a company, he truly hath incurred wrath from Allah, and his habitation will be hell, a hapless journey's end. Oh, Mama, I have to kill him? I can't walk away from him? Folks, I don't know what else to call it. I think it's pure child abuse. You have them memorize these things, and then they have to go out in the world, and they're here? They're here doing this? They're living amongst us? They're living next door to us? And we have our children playing with them, and we're supposed to trust that our children are okay with them? You know, I had a conversation this week with somebody that I had a pretty high value of, and I'm starting to question that. I'm just going to leave who it was and where I was at that. And they were questioning me whether I hate Muslims and why do I hate Muslims? I don't. I don't hate Muslims. I hate Islam. I hate Islam for what it is. I believe it's satanic. And at the end of the day, you can't trust anybody who says that they study Islam and practice it. If you've got, again, I'm getting off a little bit kilter here, but if you've got somebody, two Muslims standing there, one tells you he's a moderate and he truly feels he is a moderate, then in reality he's an apostate. So he's got a fatwa on his head and he's marked for death. You've got another one that says to you he's a moderate and he's not, and he's lying to you because it furthers him in the faith because that's what he's told, that's what he's trained to do. Which one do you know is telling the truth? Which one grew up with the values that you and I and can trust that they truly believe in the Constitution and not Sharia? How do we know? How do we know which one it is? And at the end of the day, you have to ask them a few questions to find out how seriously they believe in Sharia. And then watch their actions. The old saying, trust but verify, trust but verify. Be careful, watch who they are, what their actions are, because growing up in Islam is tantamount to becoming a terrorist. I'm going to take a breath now. Wait a minute. I kill you. Okay, sorry. I love my little sound effects now.
Oh, I do too.
So, I've got another article I'm going to read here, but Lucha, I'll let you run through the chat room. We've got such a long chat room here tonight. Just make up a few names.
Well, to all the people, in the chat room, thank you.
Absolutely.
Seriously, thank you so much for being here. We love you all. Anybody listening in archives, thanks for listening. In the chat room right now, we've got Boo Boo, we've got Doc, Holder Awakens, Lady Michelle, and of course, Kel, the Red Fox blogger. Thank you so much for being here. We love you all. And Eliza, I feel a very heavy burden of prayer. Can I say a small prayer?
Sure.
For the children. Dear Lord, and please, you guys, pray with me. I have this very heavy burden right now, and this doesn't happen that often, but I feel a very heavy burden of prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you, and we lift up the children to you. Children in Gaza and in Muslim lands that are being indoctrinated into Islam, we ask you, Lord, to place a wall of protection around them, to bring them out of Islam. We pray and we lift up their parents to you, the people that are around them. Hamas, Islamic Jihad, the Muslim Brotherhood, we lift them up to you. Dear Lord, open their eyes, reveal yourself to them. But Lord, especially the children, open their eyes, get them away from it. Lord, it's just a very heavy burden that I feel for these children, and I know that they are not at the age of accountability, yet they will go to heaven to be in your arms if they die. But if they make it to their teen years and beyond, dear Lord, just protect them, the women trapped in Islam, the people trapped in Islam. Dear Lord, let there be a Holy Spirit awakening and open their eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
That was very good. My headset's echoing back at me, sorry. But anyways, I think the children are in grave danger. Are you guys hearing the echo too? And I don't know when it starts and why it starts, but it's echoing. I apologize.
I don't hear an echo.
Oh, it's probably just in my head. Oh, man, I played a lot of the Jeff Dunham Ahmed YouTube this weekend, and I was just rolling. They were hysterical. I almost wish I could have played a whole one here tonight, but I didn't. But anyways, I've got a special one for you at the end, so we'll keep going here. But I'm probably going to close down a little bit early tonight to be able to get all of this closing in. But the
Well, I have something I'd like to talk about, if I may.
Absolutely.
I did so. I was listening to Dr. Tawfiq Hamid, and he wrote a book, I guess, The Roots of Jihad. And it was interesting. He was born in, and I took notes as I was listening to his YouTube thing. He was born in Cairo in 1961 to a secular family. And when he was 16 years old, he became curious about God. Well, being in Cairo at that time, he went straight to Jamaat Islamiya. And he started wanting to do things for God. But when he was with the Jamaat Islamiya, he was with them for 8 months.
Terrorist organization,
Yeah, he was going into their indoctrination. He was, he wanted to do things for God. But his conscience stopped him. He went to another sect. But in this video, he disclosed quite a lot of things. He was a doctor, and he was studying the Salafi form of Islam. He was trained by Aman Zawahiri, okay? And he says that there's no critical thinking allowed. They're not allowed to question anything. It was just rote learning, and a lot of it was done through fear. He said that it was not circumstances that caused people to commit jihad, you know, because there was a lot of other faiths. There was Christians, Hindus, Buddhists. It was not circumstances. Like as Holger mentioned, that it's, you know, poverty and fear and
right.
And you know,
despair.
No, he said that it's not circumstances because there were people of other faiths in those same countries, and they had the same circumstances, but they weren't committing jihad. It was just the Muslims. There were no Christian jihadis. So he laid down the Salafi teachings for us. Number one, killing apostates. Number two, beating women. Number three, calling Jews pigs and monkeys. Number four, declaring wars on non-Muslims. And number five is enslaving and raping female prisoners. He said that in all Islamic universities, they teach violence. You don't get around it. That, I mean, they teach violence. And this
but
was
well,
really
have
interesting.
To, they'd have to if they teach the Quran. They'd have to.
Of course.
Yeah.
This was interesting to me. He said that when Saudi became rich, when Saudi Arabia became rich, okay, he considered himself a moderate in Egypt, but when Saudi Arabia became rich and they started dispensing their Salafi Wahhabi teachings, that the moderates in Egypt and in other countries, they thought that Allah had blessed Saudi Arabia because of their Salafi teachings, and so more so-called moderates started looking to the Saudi Arabians for their teachings. And that's what began a lot of the violence in Islam. And who made Saudi Arabia rich? The United States did, I'm sorry to say. He said the Salafi teaching, their main teaching, I mean, the three things that they do is to force Islam on people or to pay the jizya, which is the poll tax, or to kill them. And we all, anybody who's a counter-jihadist knows that that's what Islam teaches. If you're a non-Muslim, they either force you to convert to Islam, or if you're lucky and if you're a Christian or a Jew, you have to pay the jizya and you can live as a second-class citizen, or they kill you. And this also was interesting to me. He said that to them, the first enemy of Islam was women's rights, human rights, but women's rights especially. The first thing that they go after is women's rights, you know, beat them, make them wear the hijab, the burqa, and that their hatred of the West, well, the West is known to be the guardian of women's rights, and that's a lot of their reason for hatred of the West. Mm-hmm. So this was just interesting to me, that the things that he said. And
said,
it's stuff that we know, and go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, he's got his, I'll post his website in the chat room right now while I'm talking about doing it, and then I'll go back. He's got these ABCs, the
yes.
Test of Radical Islam.
Yep.
Now, this man, and we hope to get him on a show, he is still a Muslim, and he calls himself a reformer. I don't know that you can reform Islam, but on this page that I just posted in the chat room, he's got the ABC's test of radical Islam, and it goes to G. And he says, the time has come to define radical Islam. Please ask your local mosque, Islamic school, and Islamic organization to clearly, unambiguously, and publicly denounce the following concepts. A, apostate killing. B, beating women and stoning women to death for adultery. C, calling Jews pigs and monkeys. D, declaring war on non-Muslims to spread Islam after offering non-Muslims three options, subjugate to Islam, pay jizya, or be killed. E, enslavement of other human beings. F, fighting and killing Jews before the end of days. And G, gay killing. Now, I would ask you, Dr. Hamid, if he calls himself an Islam reformer and he's asking these people to denounce the following concepts, then I submit to him that he's asking them to denounce Islam. Am I wrong, Eliza?
You might not be 100% right. I'm thinking that the way you read that is that what you'd be asking him to denounce is Sharia. You'd be asking him to denounce Sharia, which is the political side to it, which in some fashion they think they can still abide by Islam and not practice Sharia when in reality they can't. So in some ways he's like the Zuhdi Jassers of the world that still consider themselves a Muslim and Islam, but they really don't practice it 100% like the Islam demands. So are they, are they not? Again, that comes back to the moderate. If you consider them a moderate, essentially they're not following Sharia, then essentially they're an apostate. And the hill continues down downstream. So at the end of the day, I don't know if they're, there really is no, what's the word I want? There is no way to become a moderate Muslim. I mean, it's like saying, is there a moderate Baptist? Is there a moderate Catholic? Is there a moderate Protestant? I don't think so. You either practice it or you don't.
Exactly,
you know?
Because, Jesus would call us lukewarm. God does not like lukewarm. He wants you hot or cold.
Yeah.
You know?
Either commit or get off the pot. Yeah, exactly. His ABCs are interesting, though. I've talked to him about that. He was on the show just after we kicked off the show, probably about a month into starting up this show he was on, and can't remember what the date was, but I'll have to go back and find it. But I we'll try to get him on again.
And it seems to me that in his ABCs, the beating women is in the Quran.
Right.
The calling Jews pigs and monkeys is in the Quran.
Correct.
Declaring war on non-Muslims is in the Quran. Slavery is in the Quran. You know, so if I consider myself a practicing Christian, then I'm going to go by Jesus' teachings, right?
How many Christians pick and choose what laws they abide by in Christianity? So
that's true.
But again, if he's standing next to somebody else who's telling me everything in a live form, but saying exactly what he's saying, which one do I trust? I don't know. I just don't know. It is so hard to figure out. And in a lot of ways, two Christians standing next to each other, they could be saying the same thing. This is the confusion side of it, is that if I'm talking to somebody who is telling me, I'm going to ask basically the ABCs that Dr. Tawfiq Ahmed said, then, and ask them to honestly answer. How many imams do you think, if you walked into a mosque, would answer those ABCs correctly?
None of them.
Exactly.
They might say they'll denounce it. They might say, "Oh yes, I denounce terrorism," but we know that they consider terrorism a different thing than we do. They'll say the words. And what's dangerous about what's going on here in America, and I'm going to say it again. I have much more respect for the Anjem Chowderys of this world and the, Omar Badri. Yeah, I have much more respect for these Islamists who tell the truth about what they're doing than I do for these CARE guys here in America that are waging civilization jihad on us. Because they've got so many people fooled, and that's what's going to kill us. Who was it? I forget which president said that, if America is ever destroyed, it's going to be from within. That's exactly what's going on in America. We've got Muslim Brotherhood in the White House, and we are destroying ourselves with our political correctness and our inability or unwillingness to call Islam out for what it is. A lot of us are not scared to do that, and we will do that until the day we die, but too many are too worried about what people will think of them to call Islam out for what it is.
Yes. Amen to that. Did you know that terrorist organizations are delisted by the U.S. Department of State? Did you know once they get listed, designated foreign terrorist organizations, that at some point they delist them? I thought that was interesting as I walked through this. They had delisted some I had heard of many years ago, the Khmer Rouge. the Japanese Red Army, but a couple of them that I thought, really? In 2010, they delisted Armed Islamic Group, GIA, the Mujahideen, MEK organization in 2012, and a Moroccan Islamic combatant group. They delisted. Well, gee, let me think. I'll bet they just broke up the organization and went and joined Al-Qaeda, some of the other groups, Al-Shabaab, Al-Nusra. They probably just broke up and went and joined another group because they couldn't get funding, right? Because, gee, it's hard to get that 501c3, isn't it?
Well, you heard about what Obama just did, didn't you?
Go ahead.
That he has waived a federal law so that he can start arming terrorists in Syria. He actually waived. Yes, he did. He is waiving a federal law so that he can arm the Syrian jihadis.
Stand him up in front of me.
Silence! Kill you!
I'm going to kill him! I guess I shouldn't have said that. Unbelievable that he has still the power to do the executive orders that he does, and nobody questions him. Nobody stops him. They all allow him to continue to function in that manner. Unbelievable.
Exactly.
Country is under attack from within. They're not shooting. We are going under without a shot being fired. Yes, he does. Martial law is approaching. You're absolutely right, Cal. Martial law is getting very close. I just, I am not sure where this is going to go. What's this? Doc has got something, what? Oh, Todd Starnes, stories about students take a field trip to a mosque. Yeah, that continues to happen too. That was one of the other things I'd asked about this conversation I had that essentially told me I was hating Muslims, that the whole interfaith thing. The interfaith thing comes around as well in talking about it, that where, and tell me, if anybody in the chat room can tell me they've ever heard of, seen an interfaith group where it's a mixture of Christians and Islam, imams, and it's in a mosque. Hmm. I doubt anybody has seen that. You see every kind of interfaith activity, and it's always in a church or a community building. It is never in a mosque. You ask your imam if you have a pastor, priest, or rabbi, and they want to join an interfaith, you see if the imam will let it happen in his mosque. And we'll bring all the Christians we can possibly bring to just walk into that mosque and pray in it. Wouldn't that be an interesting activity?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, anyways. So our terrorists are growing up. Well, I'm sorry. Our little cowboys are growing up to be Islamist terrorists. There was another article I found, and I'm just going to read it real quick. I'm going to read the current Islamic teaching of terrorism to children. Guiding principle, terrorist organizations exploit the innocent appearance of children who do not arouse suspicion and can easily blend in amongst crowds. So we've walked through the whole path of how a child becomes abused and emotionally abused and pushed into it. So this is an Israeli site that I found that talks about how children are, because children are so innocent in appearance, this is one of the top reasons why they are programming children to become terrorists, because nobody suspects. They blend into crowds. The indoctrination, the terrorist organizations uproot children from their homes and families. They start brainwashing them. They take them away from homes and put them in the camps, like you said. They make them say the Shahada, and then they start with the terrorist training. Motivation and scope. official Palestinian television broadcast a film entitled Child Martyrs and Lovers of Their Homeland. That's a good family flick. Educating for Martyrdom. Gee, there you go. Let's all teach them that we cannot live without meeting Allah. And how do we get to meet Allah? Through jihad. We all know that. That is the end game. We don't meet him, for sure. We don't get to go to the 72 virgins. I'm sorry, women don't get to go up there anyways, because obviously women are evil. They go straight to hell, so I don't know how those virgins are getting up there. But at the end of the day, jihad is their only form to meet Allah, so let's indoctrinate the children to believe that that is what they need to do to grow up and be. That is absurd. That is child abuse. The official and parental complicity, the Palestinian Authority Ministry for Youth and Sport, also oversees summer camps, and we talked about those camps. So here we got kids dressing up at 6 years old in army fatigues with real AK-47s. I'm telling you right now, if I saw a six-year-old with an AK-47, man, I wouldn't be anywhere near that child, because... Mm-mm. They don't know where to point it. They don't know how to handle it. Unbelievable. And then they're hiding behind children. Senior terrorist operatives revealed that they tend to locate the explosives laboratories close to schools and kindergartens in order to conceal their terrorist activity. And this way the terrorist organizations directly endanger the lives of Palestinian children. Of course, they've got their bomb laboratory right close to the schools, and it's real easy to train them as well. Oh. Well, Lucha, you want to run through the show here? Because I'm going to take about the last 6-7 minutes to play this last closing. We're going to close with a smile.
Yes, we are, and I'm looking forward to it. So in the chat room, we've got Boo Boo, Cal Living joined us. My buddy here in California. Hi, Cal. We've got What's Up, Doc? Hold Your Awakened, Lady Michelle. Poppy from across the pond, we love you, girl. And we also love Kel, Red Fox Blogger. Thank you guys for joining us. Anybody in the archives that's listening, thank you for listening. And if there are any Muslims listening, please know that Jesus Christ loves you and he wants you to come to him. He loved you enough to have died for you, so consider him. Eliza?
All right, thank you. And, yes, thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. We've tried to cover a lot of information in a short time and tried to get everybody to realize I think we need to think about the children, think about where they're going, think about what they're doing. I don't know. You know, one of the things that I've been trying to ask quite a few people is, what do we do to change this pattern? How do we get them to convert away from Islam? How do we find them and start the conversation? That is a mission that I just really think we all need to be on, to be able to guide them down the path that will stop the madness. I think of the likes of Nabil Qureshi and David Wood in the companionship that they had, and Nabil thought he was going to be converting David Wood, and it turned out David Wood converted Nabil Qureshi. I don't know how to find that person. I don't know how to get into that mode and start talking that conversation and get them to realize what they're doing with their lives in terms of Islam and the slavery and the satanic rituals that are in parts of it. But at the end of the day, we are going to have a guest next week, Dr. Mark Christian, and I just recently found out, and most of you probably already knew that, he's going to be on our show next week for the start of the show. I don't know how long he's going to be able to commit to us yet, but Monday, 6 to 8 p.m., the Vito Esposito Show. Tuesday, the Andrew Bizod, 11 to 12 p.m., Thursday, Gadi Edelman, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. This is all Eastern time. Fridays, 11 to 12. Dr. Mark Christian and Corey Miller join the Radio Jihad Network. Didn't know that till recently, but he's going to be joining us next week on Wednesday night. Saturday, 10 to 12, Revealing the Truth with Usama Dakduk. And Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m., Uncle Dave. So good night, all. God bless America. God bless all of our soldiers. Keep them safe. Bring them home safely. And have a great week. We will see you next week, and we're going to leave you with a smile.
Look, what I want you to do is I just want you to look over there while I'm getting him out so he won't peek. Okay, just look over there.
Okay, I got to set this up a little bit. Sorry. This is Ahmed and Son. So Jeff Dunham's got two of them in his hand, and Ahmed starts to fall off of his table. So there's some concerns there in terms of how to get him back set up. So that's part of what's going on with this.
Look, what I want you to do is I just want you to look over there while I'm getting him out so he won't peek. Okay, just look over there. Well,
wait a minute. When I'm not looking, are you going to kill me? No, that's actually a good way of doing it, you know. Kind of old school but effective. It's like, hey, look at that.
No, just look over there and don't look back until I say so.
Okay, whatever. This is kind of like Christmas, huh?
Yeah. Just look over there. Okay, don't peek. Okay, I'm not going to peek. Could you stay over here?
No? No. Okay. Ah! Ah! Who the hell is that?
Hello, Father.
It's your son, Ahmed Jr.
AJ? That's right. Wait, I thought you were dead. Surprise.
This is great.
Hey, what happened to your face?
Oh, yeah, my bad. Ahmed, he's your son. Look at him. What do you see?
Well, he does have my eye. Actually, I do. Yes, I do.
Why do you sound like Elton John?
When you were separated after the accident, he was raised in England.
Did my mom miss me?
Yeah, I don't know. What the hell? How do you not know?
Oops. What's wrong with your leg?
Nothing!
What's wrong with my leg? I don't know.
Can you fix this?
No.
Damn it. Don't look at me.
All right. Maybe we get Marnell to help us. What Marnell? He works for... I know Marnell!
Come fix my leg!
He's kind of cute.
Okay, moving on!
Wait a minute. How do you not know who his mother is?
I had 46 wives, you idiot! They all dressed the same and their faces were colored.
How'd you tell them apart?
The numbers on their backs?
That's terrible.
I know Mother's Day is a beach. And so are most of the mothers.
That's not funny at all.
At all? Who is at all? Was she your mother? I don't remember a woman who was all bulgy-eyed like you.
Bulgy-eyed?
But look at him. Well, you're not exactly squinting. At least my face is balanced. You managed to look asleep and terrified all at the same time.
Ahmed, he's your son.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and apparently this one got run over by a fucking lawnmower. You caused the accident. Accident? It was a huge explosion with great fire and destruction. You didn't mean for it to happen. I did too. You did not. Oh, shit. Marnell! Son of a bitch!
Are you talking to me now?
Fix it right or I kick your ass. Marnell! Come back! My arm is stuck in my pelvis, you asshole.
He can fix my pelvis anytime.
Shut up!
Okay, look. So the explosion you were talking about, how did it happen?
Very precise and careful planning.
Not exactly.
I said shut up!
What happened?
Nothing.
He was putting gasoline in his scooter.
So why was there an explosion?
Shit happens.
He was using his cell phone.
Really?
What?
While putting gas in your scooter. You know that's dangerous.
Well, it was your mother who called.
Really? I don't know. What was her name? 42. And you guys haven't had any contact since?
Not much. He's a bad son.
I am not.
Tell him what you sent me for my birthday.
It was an honest mistake.
What'd you send him?
He sent me a bottle of skin lotion. Seem they did worse.
What'd you do?
I sent him back half a bottle.
You know, maybe you should try and patch things up.
Looks like he needs more than a fucking patch. But I'm here for a reason.
What?
A skin graft? Sorry, I'm all out. Fuck, what else? Come fix my fucking leg! Keep duct tape, you asshole!
We actually brought duct tape.
He's kinky, too.
Shut up!
So, Ahmed, do you know why AG is here?
Well, wait a minute. This isn't some crap about owing child support, is it? That bitch! Whichever one she was.
No, that's not.
This is that, because I've seen the crap that you're going through, and I don't know how you can afford even a T-shirt.
Thank you.
Did I say that just how you wrote it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good luck with the judge. I hope he's there.
Actually, the judge is a woman.
You're fucked.
Okay, listen, you. Ahmed, what, you're getting hostile. Of course I'm getting hostile. I'm a terrorist, you idiot. You piss me off, I kill you.
Would that really solve anything? Pretty much, yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
Okay.
I have nothing in common with my own son.
Well, just talk to him.
How?
I don't know, like you're with anybody.
Okay, WTF. OMG.
I mean, O-N-A. And you have no idea why he's here.
To start his training as a terrorist.
No, Father, that's just it. I don't want to be a terrorist.
But I want you to be just like me.
Well, I'm not, and I won't be.
Ahmed, can you accept that?
I guess I can try.
And AJ, what if he doesn't accept it?
I kill you.
That's my boy!
Night all.
Good night, everybody.